Good morning. This is KDWA Radio, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and it's Community In-Depth with our Dakota County Commissioner, Mike Slavik. Good morning, Mike. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
And our special guest today is Teresa Mitchell, the County Assessor for Dakota County. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Mike.
I'm Mike Rood, and we're going to talk Dakota County government for about the next 20 minutes. Mike, let's get a little bit of an introduction into what we've got going on today.
Well, today, as I said, I brought Teresa Mitchell, who is the county assessor. One of the roles and mandates of county government is that we must go and determine the values of all of the properties. And I thought I would just go and, as part of introducing some of those leaders within the county who serve in these roles, today bringing Teresa with, and tell a little bit about herself and also what she does, and then some of the unique parts of the job.
Teresa, thank you for coming in today. So tell us a little bit about the county assessor's office. What goes on?
So a county assessor's role is really two parts. We have two main priorities as in the job we do. The main functions being we have to value every property in the county. We also must classify every property in the county. So before I kind of get into some of those details, just to talk a little bit about the makeup of the county and how our office can meet those needs in mandate. So we are part of a division, Public Services and Revenue Division. We operate in this division with partnerships with the Taxation Department, Property Records, really those things that deal with land ownership, taxation.
Right.
So in the assessor's office, we have really four sections that help us operate and do the work that we need to do. One of those sections is the administrative section, and that's really where most taxpayers are going to interact or quite often when they are either applying for homestead on the property or they sell their property and they're, you know, recording the property. You know, so we have an administrative section that takes care of those programs and,
right,
and those those functions. We have two appraisal sections. Our sections, we specialize, our staff specializes. One section is in residential and agricultural, so those staff are trained and have expertise in valuing residential and agricultural properties. And then we have another appraisal section that specializes in commercial, industrial, and apartment properties. So those staff are trained in those different property types.
How long does training take to become an assessor?
So oftentimes assessors really fall into this career accidentally, and it's an accidental career. It was for me.
Right.
We have staff that come into this line of work sometimes from the real estate fields, whether it's sales or appraisals for mortgage companies. You know, they might be doing that work. It's a little different getting a license doing assessment work. We have a lot of the same standards that the Commerce Department would have if you were licensed as a fee appraiser doing mortgage work or other type of appraisal services. But assessors have to have 1 year of experience. They have to take a series of week-long courses that are college-level courses, essentially, that really teach you all the ins and outs of assessment laws and procedures, appraisal procedures, principles of real estate. They teach you about administering property tax. So those courses then prepare you to have the academic background, and then the experience that you get working alongside other assessors then prepare you to be licensed. And that, you know, those are really the requirements to become a certified Minnesota assessor. That's the entry level license for assessors.
And it sounds like then there is also, once you get into the field, there's a lot of field work, if you will. You're out looking at properties, you're taking measurements and doing all those things to help you come to that assessment of value.
There, that is a large part of it. You know, with having 162,000 parcels in Dakota County, and our staff is about 40, so we do have to employ a lot of different strategies into establishing a value on every single one of those properties every January 2nd. That's what the law requires us to do. So in order to do that, we do a lot of field time. You know, we work with the cities to help us understand the building permits, what's changing on properties. We leverage technologies. You know, there's aerial imagery that we leverage so that we can ensure that we have correct values, we have the correct characteristics on properties that are, you know, on the ground. We leverage our computer system, so we have lots of property characteristics in our system that really feed into us being able to calculate these values every single year and really follow what the market's doing.
Yeah, and Teresa, you had kind of an interesting path on how you became the county assessor for Dakota County, didn't you?
I think it's interesting. I'm not sure if everybody knows.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. So I've been the county assessor for 6 years, about 6 years. And before that, I was one of those accidental, you know, career path. That was my journey. And I actually am from Hastings. So what got me started in this office, and I've been in the office for 31 years in assessing services, I started in high school in a work study program in my junior year. And so I was able to leverage the partnership with Dakota County through the high school and start working as a file clerk at the time in the assessor's office. I was filing field cards. So we had a field card for every property in the county. So I was filing those away when the appraisers were done working with them. And so I decided then, you know, I finished high school working with the county through that time in the assessor's office, and I went to college. But I realized that, you know, I went into accounting, so I really like data and numbers. It's really in it. Yep. Something that drew me to it. So then I started a full-time opportunity with the county shortly after starting college. So I finished college the hard way, you know, mm-hmm. while working full-time. But then I worked through appraisal positions after being a clerk. I worked through senior appraiser positions. I became the residential manager. I was a residential manager for about 14 years before I took the deputy position, which again was overseeing the residential agricultural properties. Mm-hmm. And then I was, after our former county assessor retired, I pursued that opportunity. The county's been a great place for me to develop. It's been a great employer. I wouldn't have been there for 31 years if it hadn't been a great place to work and develop. And you know, I can't say enough about the opportunities I've had. And I recently accepted a position that I will be starting in September with the division that the assessor's office is within, which is the Public Services and Revenue Division.
Okay. The assessor position itself, refresh my memory, is that a job offer or is that an elected position?
It is a competitive job opening. It is not elected.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's one of those things where I think in other counties, the county board appoints, but we have the county manager system, so we do not have to, as a county board, appoint. And I think when you were first started, we weren't a county manager, because we have very similar paths in Teresa's time as a assessor. I've been county commissioner almost the same, just a little bit longer than Teresa's been our assessor. And at that time, we had to actually make the official vote and appoint Teresa as our county assessor. But now we have changed from a county administrator to a county manager system. So now it's a process that will go just through Matt Smith, our county manager, and they're able to do a lot of those things that administratively other county boards across the state still have to go, and they don't actually do the interviewer selection, but they have to do the official appointment.
Right, kind of like what they just did here in Hastings for the city administrator.
Yes,
kind of a parallel.
Some of those,
but
yes.
Turning to that other system then kind of streamlines the process, and you're able to fill a position as important as that quicker, I would think.
Yes, and so we have, there's only two county managers in the entire state of the 87 counties. So Ramsey County and Dakota are the only two who have it for a little bit different reasons, but you're exactly right. The county manager system does put a lot more of the CEO abilities to just be able to move a little faster and achieve things rather than some of the bureaucratic elected official process. So this is just a positive of this. It wasn't the reason why we chose to go to a county manager, but it this is one of the examples that does work well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you said that assessments need to be done by, like, would you say January? Was that January 2nd?
January 2nd is our statutory assessment date.
All right. So does that mean at this point of the year, your office activity is really ramping up, or is that something that stays pretty steady throughout the whole year?
So we are very cyclical in the work we do. Typically through the, I'll start with January 2nd. That is our assessment date. Once those assessments are established, we send a notice out to every taxpayer in Dakota County with their value notice, and that is in the same envelope as their tax statement. And so those go out early March, and that then signals the taxpayers to look at those valuations and then take that opportunity to give us a call if they have any questions or concerns about the information they see on either their value notice or tax statement. So we work with taxpayers through the month of March and April and May through, any appeals, any questions, any inquiries. It's very simple. They can give us a call. There's a lot of information on our website that, you know, they can find out what's happening in their neighborhood, what are the values of other homes, what are some sales that are occurring in their neighborhood. So there's a lot of information on the website that really puts that information at taxpayers' fingertips. And then we're available by phone, email. We also hold open book meetings at all of our service centers. So 3 different days we're available for that. But we also have an office in Hastings that anyone is, you know, very welcome to stop in and ask any questions, and we'd be happy to sit down and look at your property.
And if they have, shall we call them, disputes about their assessment, is that in any time they can come in and schedule an appointment any time to discuss that, or are there certain times of the year that are better for it?
So there's really no appointment necessary. I know a phone call will do it. Stopping in the counter between 8 and 4:30 Monday through Friday are hours that the service Hastings Administrative Center is open, and that's where we're located.
Okay.
So the only constraint really around asking questions and appealing the value is the date set in statute whereby we have to finalize those values. And that occurs when the County Board of Appeal and Equalization adjourns, and that's usually the first Monday of June. So once the county board adjourns, we want to make sure that we've addressed all concerns and questions about taxpayers' valuation and classification for that assessment year.
Sure. And I think that's one of the things that I hear as an elected official. People, they don't necessarily pay attention in March or whatever, and they're like, how did my house go up 10% or all that? But they're calling in August, or maybe by the time they get the tax statement for the following year.
Right.
Wait a second. Why did my value go up this much? And quite honestly, by state law, that's too late. So you're now talking about a further year ahead to be able to do anything. So by state law, basically by June, that March to June is that time where you know what the new proposed assessed value is, and you have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. And of the properties that you have in Dakota County, what approximate percentage of people do you see that challenge those assessments?
You know, it's a very small percentage. It's under 1%.
Really?
Of all properties in Dakota County.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have those figures with me today,
sure.
But for 162,000 properties, we have under 1,000 that contact us after those notices go out.
Wow.
So we want to make sure that we're providing as much information on the website as possible. So a lot of that is just self-service, self-answered, at your fingertips when it's convenient for taxpayers. So if we can provide more information like that, that's our goal.
Okay. Just ran out of a question.
Oh, no. Well, I can talk a little bit about this time of year. So since the County Board of Appeal and Equalization has ended, the appeal process shifts then for us to focus on the 2020 assessment.
Okay.
That the next January 2nd is in front of us. So we have a requirement by law to view 20%, which is we call it a quintile. So 20% of the county must be viewed every year. So it's our revaluation requirements. So for 162,000 properties, 20% is a lot. So we, our staff really work hard through the summer months. We also employ interns that we recruit from other colleges, universities that might have real estate programs or other, finance programs, that this would be a good opportunity to get real world experience. So we had 4 interns this summer and 2 additional interns that are with us for 12 months that are in a trainee program. But again, it's a good way to enter the field to make, to see if this is something that would be an accidental career for you, I guess.
Right.
So that's what we're really focusing on right now. When the fall comes, and even through the summer months, we start looking at all the new construction that's happening in the county. There's a lot of construction going
right.
on throughout
oh,
the
yeah.
county of all property types. So we work with the cities to collect all that building permit data. And that then feeds into our our property records and then feeds them to our appraisers who are out in the field measuring those homes, making sure those our records are updated with any changes or improvements to the properties so that our value on January 2nd of 2020 will reflect those changes.
Okay.
One little note I will add if I can take a minute. We are currently working with the city of Hastings on automating their building permit process. Mm-hmm. You know, for many years, building permits came to us paper. You know, they were filled up paper. With so many things going automated, the city staff and interim city administrator right now and the building official has been working with our department to develop a system to electronically transfer information right into our system, so it makes us more efficient, it makes them more efficient, and we get things a lot quicker, you know, and with less labor.
How many other communities are doing this in Dakota County right now?
We have a large portion, and I believe we're approaching 75% of our building permits are sent into us electronically.
Excellent.
So it is a great efficiency.
Excellent. You're listening to Community In Depth with your host, Mike Root. I've got Mike Slavik, Dakota County Commissioner, and Teresa Mitchell, the County Assessor for Dakota County. If they need to get a hold of you, Teresa, how can they do that?
So we have, on the website I mentioned, there's a great, you know, resource on there. Our website is www.dakotacounty.us, and under Home and Property, there's an assessing tab. They can also... There's an email address on there. I won't read it off because our email addresses are kind of long.
Yeah, exactly.
But it can be found on the web. But our main assessing services number is 651-438-4200.
All right. And Mr. Slavik, as we wrap up here, any final thoughts on the whole situation or the situation? We have a situation, mm-hmm. folks, on the process.
Well, I think that, you know, every property owner gets something in the mail, or there is an option to do that electronically, and it's important to pay attention in March when you get your statements, because that's the time that there actually can be some changes, and the assessor's office has been able to change some. There's other information maybe that was missing or they did not know. So there have been a number of that roughly 1% that do have issues that have been able to have some impactful changes but you really need to pay attention between March and June.
And our goal is accuracy.
Yes.
Our goal is accuracy. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Community In Depth on KDWA Radio. Mm-hmm.